If you have a weak brand or a weak offer and you try to run ads behind a weak brand and a weak offer, it doesn't matter what we do. We could be the most skilled media buyers ever. We're going to struggle with that. And I'm not saying it's not possible. You can also use ads to build up your brand, and there's strategies for that. And obviously, if you refine your offers and use paid traffic to test those offers, you can do that. But in terms of the process, it's going to be a lot harder than just turning on ads to something and having it work.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. I got a special guest on with me today. I'm very excited to share with you this person, become one of my good friends, and I've done projects together with big clients. Literally every time I chat with him, he's talking about some massive event he's helping run or fill or whatever. He's frankly one of the smartest ads people I've ever met in my entire life and runs all my ads. So I don't know how to introduce and beef you up more than that, but welcome to the show, Brad Lincoln.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Yeah, it's been awesome to, man, I used to sit in a seat watching Steve share his genius at kind of Funnel Hacking Live and other events. And then now we talk practically every day on Voxer and we're texting, and it's like, it's weird, full circle. But yeah, it's been awesome to get to know you, work together, and yeah, now do this interview.
That's awesome. I'm psyched to have you as well. For those of you guys who don't know, Brad is going to be one of the key speakers at OfferLaunch, which is happening October 26th to 28th. Go to offerlaunch.com, subtle plug. But I'm psyched to have you speak about that. And I thought this would be a powerful opportunity prior to the event for people to get to know you a little bit. Do you mind sharing some of your backstory?
Yeah, 100%. I always tell people I'm a major introvert, but I love getting on stages and speaking. It's a little bit weird. So not as many people know about me. I work behind the scenes a lot, kind of by choice, but kind of what we've done in, you know, my career of work and over 8 years of running a marketing agency, I guess, is impressive to some people. I don't like bragging, but I will definitely share some of the cool things that I think we've done. And yeah, I got into marketing about 8-9 years ago, running ads for local businesses and not really knowing what I'm doing and just kind of figuring out the ropes. And fast forward 8 years into the future, and we work with some of the bigger brands that you might know in the internet marketing space, Steve being one of them, with helping them run their ads and with their marketing strategy. And a lot of that is focused on events, on challenges, on webinars. What we really call them is engagement funnels. It's places you're sending traffic where you're actually engaging with users. And I think that's a huge reason why events, challenges, webinars, live webinars in this case, work really well. So we have a little bit different strategy when it comes to traffic than most people. Number one is that we realize that marketing strategy is much more important than media buying strategy. And what I mean by that is a lot of people think media buyers or people running ads are just, they're button pushers. They're increasing budgets, decreasing budgets, maybe subbing out a headline here and there, or some new creatives, or launching new campaigns. And that's part of it, but it's 20% of the entire equation for really what makes paid media and paid traffic work. And it's become really, really relevant now with all the changes. For those of you that don't know a whole lot about running paid ads, there's been a lot of changes to ad platforms and restrictions in terms of what you can do and tracking issues, and costs have gone up for a lot of people in the traffic space. I would say we've been able to buck that trend quite a bit by implementing true marketing strategy into what we do from a traffic standpoint. So a little detail on some of the things we've done. We currently are the Guinness World Record holder for the largest 7-day business conference. That was an event called the Home Service Super Summit that we did, I think it's been like 4 years ago now.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it was fun. I'll tell you, maybe at the event, I'll go into some details of how crazy that truly was, getting ad accounts banned mid-promotion and all sorts of stuff. But we've helped fill over 1 million attendees now into challenges, webinars, and virtual events combined, and hybrid events. I believe now had, I want to say, close to the ballpark of $75 million in back-end revenue from these events, challenges, and webinars. It might be a little more, a little less now. it's been quite the run that we've had. And we kind of made a name for ourselves with the Guinness World Record event and running virtual events, and then really realized the principles of what works for virtual events is the same as in-person events, which is the same as challenges and is similar to webinars as well. So that's really where we focus our paid traffic, and we try to really create a comprehensive strategy for it. It's not as simple as running ads to an event. There's a lot more that goes into that, and I'm sure we'll dive into some of it here. So
it's interesting, man. Like you, I mean, I've worked with, I don't even know how many different ad agencies, but you have such an in-depth understanding of not just the platforms you're driving traffic from, you know, or on, but also the bridge of how to make that traffic tee up the funnel the most. I feel like anyone else I've ever worked with, they don't understand. They're just driving clicks versus looking at it as one continued whole. You know what I'm saying? Which is such a unique thing. And I don't know why that's so unique, but you're the best I've ever met at that. And I'm really excited to have you come speak at this stuff. How did you get into the media buying in the first place?
So out of college, I got a political science degree. And most people get a political science degree because they either want to become an attorney or they want to get into politics. I wanted neither to do with both. So I wasn't really sure why I got that degree. So I was super passionate about fitness at the time and ended up starting a personal training business. I worked at 24-Hour Fitness first as a personal trainer, and then don't tell them, but took my clients privately because I didn't want to give them 60% of all the money that I was making. In that process, I owned a business or two before. That's not even worth talking about, hobby businesses when I was young. But this was kind of my first real business. You know, I was bringing in real money. I don't know if people know this about personal trainers, but there's some that make a lot of money. Alex Hormozi is a pretty good example of someone that was a personal trainer and did pretty well. Some things he did down the line. But anyways, it was kind of my first business, and an issue popped up, which happens with every business. Like, I need marketing. I need more clients. Like, how do I do this thing? So I worked at a gym with probably 50 private trainers. I probably had the least experience of any trainer in that entire gym. And I saw, you know, how many clients they had. And I really wanted to get to their level. I was always the youngest person in the groups, you know, that wanted to kind of be doing what other people were doing 10 years later, but I wanted it now. I wasn't very patient. And I decided that, okay, well, if I'm going to catch up to them, I have to do something better than them. And I'm not going to, you know, have bigger muscles than them and be fitter than them. They've been doing it for, you know, decades, but I could get better at marketing than them. So I started learning, you know, how to run paid traffic. And my first entry into that was Google Ads. And found out that Google Ads for local businesses, by the way, if you own a local business, you need to learn Google Ads. You don't even need to hire someone, just learn it yourself, is a game changer for any business. And fast forward literally 3 months later, I had more clients than any trainer in that entire gym in my city of Pasadena, which is a pretty big city outside of Los Angeles. Probably one of the top trainers in the entire city, top 1-3 trainers in the city. And it was all because of paid advertising. And then that really led to a lot of connections with the clients that I brought in. They're kind of high profile clients, a lot of them in business, and started, you know, you got an hour to talk to someone while you're training them. And we start talking about business, and I start seeing this need that they all have for like marketing. I tell them about how I kind of blew up my training business. So long story short, I learned that skill for myself. And then I saw that a lot of other people needed it. And that's when I kind of quit personal training, launched my marketing agency. And you know, for 3-4 years there, it was really kind of like a solo type business, maybe had a little help. And then in the last 3-4 years, once we started doing these, you know, very large scale events and working with some pretty high profile clients, that's when I really started building my true business. And now we're still relatively small, have 14 on staff. But like I said, we've done some pretty big numbers for a lot of our clients and had a lot of success. And yeah, it's just been hard work and maybe looking at media buying a little differently than most people do. So,
yeah, everybody, you look different than anyone does, man. It's so cool. I love that. I love getting those. You know, we do talk a lot. It's funny. For whatever reason, it's whenever I'm on my walks, I just ramble to you.
I get the 8-9 minute Voxer messages, and I'm like, man, this is probably good. But Steve, can you try like 2 minutes, maybe? So
that's just brain dumping, man. Yeah. But I laugh so hard though. Like when you sent a message like 2 weeks ago, and you're like, hey, man, I got to get back to you in just a little bit. I got to put 5,000 people in a room in the next 30 days or something like that. And then you're like, you just like disappear. We both have like those disappearing, reappearing personalities, and maybe that's why it works. But what would you say? I mean, the numbers you put behind things, it just blows my mind. I mean, even with my own challenge, right? You're running ads to my challenge. You're getting $3 registration. I mean, like crazy cheap, powerful things. What do you think the number one traffic or launching mistake is that comes to mind that funnel people make? You know, when they start going to paid ads.
One thing that I always mention is, first off, most people like you have never ran ads before, right? So first problem is that people go to agencies that don't know what they're doing. In the marketing world, everyone knows this. There's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there. The agency space, you know, the average retention of a client is 2.5 months for media buying agencies. And that's because most of them suck. That's one problem. If you have someone who's not, you know, doesn't know what they're doing with your traffic, you're already setting yourself up for failure. But I think the biggest thing is people look at paid traffic with far too much simplicity. It's not, like you said, about just getting clicks to a page. And it's about the person that you're bringing to that page. And there's some foundational elements that you know, I'm getting ready to launch a new campaign for our business, which is all about, are you ready for paid traffic? There's a lot of people, and this is, you know, going back to the agency, saying that sometimes it's not the agency's fault. There's a lot of people that just aren't ready for paid traffic as well. And they think, oh, I can just turn on ads to this funnel and I'm going to make a lot of money. Two factors in that are really brand and offer are a huge component of that. If you have a weak brand or a weak offer and you try to run ads behind a weak brand and a weak offer, it doesn't matter what we do. We could be the most skilled media buyers ever. We're going to struggle with that. And I'm not saying it's not possible. You can also use ads to build up your brand and their strategy.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Use for that. And obviously, if you refine your offers and use paid traffic to test those offers, you can do that. But in terms of the process, it's going to be a lot harder than just turning on ads to something and having it work. So like when we first started out, we were running traffic for a lot of, you know, smaller companies that were kind of starting up, didn't really have a brand established, didn't really have offers established. And we struggled a lot. Now, most of our clients, you know, are more high profile clients that have very strong offers. So you kind of take that variable away, right? Like, okay, the brand is good, the offer is good. So there's got to be an opportunity for paid traffic. Still, people make that a little bit too simple because, again, it goes back to, let's run ads to this one webinar that's going to sell this product and it's going to convert. And that whole strategy really came out of kind of those top 1%. Like I use Dan Henry as an example, who absolutely crushed it with, you know, one webinar, one offer, did $30 million with that strategy. I'm not saying that it can't work, but for most people, it's not the best approach to paid traffic. And especially as paid traffic has gotten more and more expensive, it's harder to make that model work. And another factor is that even if you can make that model work, why wouldn't you want to diversify your strategy in case it stops working? I've seen businesses that were reliant on traffic to one funnel and one offer that basically shut down overnight, like when iOS changes happen. We have some of those clients that we're trying to build back up now because they had a singular strategy. And if it stops working, you know, if your AOVs or your, you know, CPAs are going up or going down one way or another, like it can change everything. And you can't rely on getting the same numbers forever. There's a lot of variables of why that will probably get worse over time. You know, marketing gets better for a period of time as you test and tweak, and then it can start dipping over a period of time. And a lot of that is just the audience getting exhausted of the offer, or maybe your pool of, you know, potential buyers, you've kind of ran through them or whatever. There's a lot of variables. So what we teach is what we call a comprehensive marketing strategy. And it's looking at different pathways for prospects. And that's extremely important when it doesn't matter if you're doing a challenge, a webinar, a live event, a virtual event, you still want to diversify your marketing components and have a, you know, full-fledged strategy that takes people on different pathways. And the example that I use is, you know, you and I probably consume content differently. You might be the podcast guy, and maybe I'm the video guy, or I like to read, whatever. There's going to be different ways that we like to consume content. So if you use the example of a singular webinar funnel, well, you're only giving them one chance to consume your content. Like they have to want to sit down and watch a 1 hour webinar. So it's not the best approach. And then on top of that, if you're sending traffic directly to like a conversion funnel, which is what most people think they should do, and that's all they should do, you're really losing the opportunity to get that person to know, like, and trust you to build up value before ever sending them to a conversion type funnel. So what we do is we diversify their marketing strategy. We run traffic to a multitude of different funnels that have different types of content for people who like to consume content differently. And it meets them at a different part of their journey. So examples are always good for this. So I'll give you an example. You know, let's say I'm trying to promote a product to you and you have no clue who I am. And again, I send you to a webinar that has a $5,000 product on the end. Well, probably not a good idea most of the time. You know, we always have the people that can kind of, Roland Frazier calls this skip the line, the 1% that will maybe skip the line and they will be a good prospect for, you know, a high ticket offer very quickly. But the 99% of other people just got pitched an offer almost immediately. They're probably not going to want to go back and look at more of your content. So why wouldn't you? For example, we have a strategy that I'll share at your event. I'm not going to share right now, but
yeah, don't share it now. Go get your ticket, everyone.
Definitely going to share it at your event. But we have a strategy right now to acquire leads for sub $10 in most niches, even sub $5 in other niches, that guarantees we get both their email and their phone number at the same time. And then we put them through a sequence that's a multi-day sequence. And now what happens is we're acquiring leads for cheaper than most our competitors are acquiring leads. We're getting their phone number, which I would say a phone lead is about five times as valuable as an email lead, especially now because people don't read email as much.
Yeah.
Then we're taking that same prospect and we're sending them to a webinar funnel. So if that webinar funnel, it costs $15 to get someone to watch your webinar, which is roughly the average that we see for our clients. And I just acquired a lead for $5. And then on top of that, I gave them a bunch of free value because that's what this campaign that I'm not going to share specifics of does. It gives them a lot of value over multiple days and then send them to a webinar. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that that is going to be a much better prospect to go into your webinar funnel. Plus, you acquired them for cheaper. So that's kind of one example of what we do. If you can imagine like a customer journey chart, and there's all these different pathways that someone can go through, you don't know what their pathway is going to be. You know, you might show them this piece of content, this challenge, and they're like, I'm not going to go through a 5-day challenge, but then you show them this downloadable asset and they might prefer that. And you're moving them through this customer journey. And we all obviously use paid traffic to bolster that because that's a whole nother thing. But people kind of decide on if their marketing is working or not working very quickly without really getting traffic to it. So it's not statistically significant. You don't really know what's working or what's not working. So we use paid traffic to figure out what's working. And the same principles can work for organic. You're just going to have to get a lot of organic traffic to test these kind of things. That's essentially what we do. And then we build what we call a marketing ecosystem so that we have pathways for users based on where they're at in their journey, how well they know you, like you, trust you. And we use data to back up our decision making so that it makes it really simple. Hey, I'm not going to send direct traffic to this webinar. I'm going to send them to this funnel first and then direct them to the webinar. So when you talked about, you know, getting the right people to the right funnel, that's very data driven. It's obviously strategy driven as well. But when we get that data, then we know where to send a prospect at any given time. And we maximize, you know, ad spend, because if you're going to pay to acquire a lead, you want to be able to put them through multiple funnels. And the final example, and I'll stop there, that I talk about is free traffic. When you're running paid traffic, you can also get free traffic, because if I take a prospect and put them in this one funnel, I now can use my free traffic, emails, text messages, push notifications on their phone to send them into other funnels. So whereas you might pay $5 for this funnel, $15 for this funnel to get someone there, it might be, you know, $6 from a retargeting ad, or maybe it's truly just $5 because you sent them an email or sent them a text. So we try to maximize the value of every lead. We call it squeezing the lifeblood out of leads. Like, we want to make sure we exhaust every single lead, because you're paying for that. So you've got to make sure that you maximize their value. So to kind of bring it full circle, talk about events and challenges and webinars, one of the ways that we're able to fill those up is because we're already warming these pools of people and providing them value before we ever send them to an event. And it doesn't mean we don't use purely cold traffic too. We absolutely do, but it helps bolster our results when we're putting warm traffic in there as well. And then we also have the benefit of, as we push warm traffic in there, just like you would with organic traffic, we're getting data and then improving what we can do for the cold traffic prospects. So maybe a little more detailed than I planned on going, but I think relatively easy to understand, I hope so.
Dude, it's amazing. And I think that that's one of the biggest things I've learned from you, especially with so many changes that have happened with the ads world, is it really is that pre-game. That's what's changed so much before sending them to a funnel. And I think most of the funnel world looks at paid ads as this magic drip source of just send immediately people to my funnel to send people to convert, and that's it. And if it works with ads, then it's going to work. But they look so fast. They don't do any of that pre-game warm-up stuff that you're talking about. Anyway, I'm really psyched to hear what you have to say at the events. It's because that part for me brought a lot of clarity. It seemed like it got super muddy there. No one knew what was going on for a couple of years, and now it's back, but it's different. And so I think your insights are just going to change people's lives, honestly.
Yeah, it's different, but it's funny because it's also the same, right? It's like the same marketing principles that we've all learned, but people abandon them for paid ads, which makes no sense because you're spending your money. So wouldn't you want to do the most foundational sound strategies you can? And it's warming people up, right? It's leading with value. It's taking them through an ascension model. Like, those things have been abandoned on paid media. And, you know, I think it's because people want the easy button. It's like, nope, send traffic to this thing that buys this thing and boom, we have a $1 million business. And again, not saying those things can't work, but why not have a full marketing ecosystem where you can optimize, you know, the value you're getting from every lead that you're paying for? So
you're doing this, you do it on Facebook, YouTube, Google, Instagram. I mean,
yeah, any we're platform agnostic. So we run ads on TikTok, YouTube, Bing, Google search, Instagram, everything. So we do some native ads as well. And yeah, every platform, you know, you do need to know what's going on with each individual platform. But at the end of the day, the traffic component is, like I said, about 20% of the equation. It's a smaller part than people understand. So
most seem like they're looking for a ghost in the machine, some trick. And
don't get me wrong, like, there's tricks and
certainly tricks.
Like, there's things you can do to, like, optimize campaigns and knowing how to scale appropriately, but the name of the game is more foundational than that. And if you skip that and you're just going for the quick win, you're probably not going to have much luck with paid media. Like, it is a long game, especially like for people selling high ticket. Like, it's a long game to really see profitability. And yeah, there's a lot of variables to it, but I'll tell you that we really only have two types of people that we work with. It's the 3 months and I'm done because they didn't want to wait it out. And it's the 3 years because they have waited it out and now they see, you know, what's happening. And then every once in a while, you know, with some of these big events we do, they're massive speakers and we will have success right out of the gates. And that's something worth mentioning too, is when the offer is really good or the brand is really strong, like sometimes you will see success faster. So it just depends on, you know, a lot of variables, but yeah.
So you're saying that messaging and hooks matter.
Way more than how to run Facebook ads. Absolutely. So
100%. Oh, dude. Well, I'm really excited to have you, man. Everybody, the amazing Brad Langan, you really are like the best in the whole ad space, man. I'm so excited to have you and we're lucky to have you. So we appreciate it. Everyone go get a ticket. Any final words?
No, come to the event, guys. Then I'll share the really deep, dark secrets with you. So
awesome. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, of course.